Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilma. Allah, please increase us in knowledge. So today I'm going to continue with some of the descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we want to know someone and become closer to them, it's always good to learn about their character, their habits, their positive traits that we can also implement in our life, but also the way they carried themselves, how they moved, how they sat, how they interacted with people. And when we talk about the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can start with the fact that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not an ordinary person, right? He would sweat just like anyone else. He would sleep and eat and everything just like another human being. But when he would sweat, his sweat was the smell of musk. The Sahabas around him were known to try to get that sweat and put it in something like a little container and hold on to it. Because whenever they would shake the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand, just by touching him, that their hand would have the scent of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for days afterwards. So from that, they knew that everything that came from him, if it was like sweat or if it was water after he made wudu, they would try to grab it and take it and hold on to it as a blessing, as a beautiful scent. I mean, imagine living around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And just seeing all these small little miracles, right? And then you wonder, of course, if you had seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just his divine beauty and the nur on his face, the light between his eyebrows and his forehead, the shine, the glimmer, just the presence that he had. And on top of that, knowing that he had a beautiful scent, he looked beautiful. You know, we talk about Yusuf alayhi salam and how he had half of the beauty of the world, or some say 99% and 1% is the rest of us. But humans were able to see the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. And that is why people like Zulaykha and the women around her would cut their hand just to not even realizing it, because the beauty overtook them. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was even more beautiful than Yusuf alayhi salam. The only thing is that we are, there's a curtain between us and seeing his beauty. The Sahabas that lived around him, they weren't able to see it in that way. But his beauty was beyond anything else. I mean, of course, right? This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of creation. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a beautiful scent. He would sweat perfume. When you smelled his sweat, it would smell beautiful, like musk. And like I said, when people shook his hand, that scent would stay on their hands for days later. His breath smelled beautiful, right? We know that he would carry around a little pouch, and in that pouch he had perfume. He had a few things. He had perfume, he had a mirror, he had a comb, He had a miswak, kuhul, which is for your eyes. And if I forget anything, I'll try to remember again. But he had a few things that he would carry with him all the time. Even if he's living in a desert, even if it's 1,400 years ago, he worried, he was concerned with his appearance. Not in the sense of materialistic, but in the sense of cleanliness and order and being presentable. So when we describe his appearance, the Sahabas have said that he has striking appearance, radiant face, beautiful, beautifully created, proportionate and delicate, and finely made, a specimen of creation. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is his beloved. He has molded him into something amazing. Even if the Sahabas couldn't look at him, the younger Sahabas, the children, did look. And a lot of the descriptions that are written about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his eyes and his eyebrows and his nose and his features, are written by the young, innocent Sahabas that was a child at that time. Many children, if you ask them, who are innocent around you, like I've asked a few kids when they were younger, and a few of my kids, not all, they will tell you that they dream about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's one thing that is a true dream, because shaitan can take the character or the shape of anyone else except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. And so when someone dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a true dream. And the funny thing is, you can ask like a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, and they describe it in such a beautiful way. There's always like green or something shiny and something beautiful, and they'll tell you who it is. They'll tell you who he's with, even if they haven't learned the name of the Sahabas, even if you haven't really describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to them. They know. They just automatically know. A lot of non-Muslims who have converted to Islam have dreamt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will tell you who he is without having known him beforehand. So it's one of those beautifully true dreams. So everything about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is perfectly set. Everything about him was moderate and middle and balanced. You know, that's one of the things we strive for, right? We live a life where, unfortunately, when we are interested in something, or we want to learn about something, or we want to gain something in our life and change something, we go into extremes, right? Whether it's dieting, whether it's you know, being successful in a career, we go to an extreme. We lose that balance, whether it's we want to teach our kids and have them be very academic, whether it's we want to be the best baker or whatever it is, whether we want to go on a diet, do the extreme. We kind of lose the balance. We kind of lose our balance, and that is why when we learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we learn about his way and the way he was, the way he lived, everything about him, that brings us back to moderation, to balancing our life. That is why it's so important to know who he is, because any other human, even if they might seem like a role model, even if they might be someone we look up to, one day they will disappoint us, because they are not set up to be the perfect example for us. We already have the perfect example in the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was not tall, too tall, and he was not short. He was in the middle. His skin, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was not light or dark. It was in the middle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we'll start out with his eyes, right? His eyes, like, I remember once I was not well, right? And even though when you go to the conventional doctors, they should ask you, like, they should check your eyes. Because I remember back when I was really little, the first thing they would do was check your eyes and your mouth and your ears and your tongue, you know, all the stuff, just to see different, the different colors and the different shapes and things that occur when somebody is either healthy or unhealthy. They would check your nails and your skin, like everything, right? So I remember when I wasn't feeling well and I went to the ER, but unfortunately they didn't check any of this stuff. They usually just go straight to checking your blood and your urine and other forms. So they have a different procedure right now. But when I went to a natural doctor, the first thing he looked at was the inside of my eyes, looked at the color of my eyes. Like the white should be really white. The dark should be, the pupil should be really dark. Right? And when there's a little bit of yellow or a little bit of red or a little bit of something that shouldn't be there, that is a form or that is a indication that something is off balance, right? And they can kind of tell you what's wrong with you just by looking into your eyes or looking at your nails or your skin and get an idea even before they take any sort of samples of blood or urine. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his eyes were, the black part was extremely black and the white part was extremely, really white. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It shows the balance, the health of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his eyelashes were so long that you thought he had eyeliner on them, right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was known to sometimes put kohl on his eyes. And that is another sunnah that people actually do at night. It wasn't something he would do in the day. He would do it at night and go to bed. And then if you are used to this habit of doing it, you in the morning when you make wudu and you wash yourself, it goes away. But there is a natural substance in that that's really healthy for your eyes. And his eyes, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, were always moist with tears because he was always in contemplation and he worried about us. I mean, like, look at our state right now, right? The Muslim state, the ummah, the world, is in a very difficult state. We're heading into things that we're really not supposed to be taking part of, right? As a society, as a whole. I'm not talking about it as individuals. And so may Allah have mercy on us. And, you know, it's wonderful that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam worried about us. And now we know why, right? His concerns. So his eyebrows were curved. They were full and almost connected, but there was a space in between them. And in between that space, there was light that would shine, that would emit. And from the stories of Sira, we know that before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the world, there was this light, this nur, and it was the nur of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his nur before he created anything else on earth. And that nur passed down from prophets to lineage, all the way to his grandfather and then to his father. And it was on his forehead, and it would emanate in his beauty as well. And so right before his father, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abdullah, was going to marry Amina, the beautiful, delicate, innocent Amina, everybody was interested in marrying him. Abdullah was a beautiful boy, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's father. And there was this girl who saw this light in him, right? The light that I'm talking about, the nur that passed on to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she was interested in him before he married. And then after he married, and he had a nikah with Amina radiallahu anha. She wasn't interested anymore, and Abdullah asked her. She said, what happened? You're not interested anymore. She said, that light that I saw on your face, I don't see it anymore. And we're told that light passed on to his wife, Amina. And then it passed on to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was born. So that's the nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first created. And it was right between his eyebrows, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a prominent forehead, which means like it was wide, right? There was a vein that would only show up when he was upset. Otherwise, you couldn't see it. His hair, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not too straight or too curly. It was in the middle. Everything about him was balanced. He had wavy hair. And sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would sometimes grow it to his earlobes, and other times he would allow it to grow to his shoulders, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, during Hajj and Umrah season, he would shave it all off. And everyone around him, all the sahabas, would collect his hair. And I have a picture. Maybe I'll put it on either Instagram or on the podcast and show you that everyone who has that piece of hair right now, because he is still alive, even if he's not with us, that hair continues to grow. Nobody's hair does that. It's a miracle, subhanAllah. Once a year, during this time actually, this is way before COVID, there would be a gathering where everybody would come just to see this hair. And it was, of course, in this little small case, but you can see that it's grown, right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he would put oil on it, so he would oil his hair often, and that's one of the things he had in the little pouch that he would carry, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his beard was full, and he would comb it with the comb that he would carry, you know, with him in a pouch. He would comb both his beard hair and the hair on his head. And the sahabas, the companions around him, they were always interested, right? They would want to know everything. They would want to write about every single thing about him. And many of them would count, like, how many gray hairs did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam have towards the end of his life. And they only counted between 14 to 20. And he was alive until age 63. So imagine someone 63 years old, and the total amount of hairs he has, gray hairs, is about 20. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we have 30-year-olds that have so much gray hair, maybe because it's out of stress. Maybe it's because of out of being out of balance, right? Because that causes stress as well. And maybe it's because we are not as centered, as grounded as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. It could be anything, right? It could be the food we're eating, could be the dhikr that we're not doing, could be the focus that we don't have. It could be the busyness that's in our life. It could be many things. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would oil his hair, you wouldn't be able to see those few gray hairs that he had. And when you did see the gray hairs, the only two places that they were was under the lips and on his sideburns, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he would look, because I don't want to move away from the eyes until, and then come back to it, but when he looked, his look was more at the ground than it was up. Right, he was very humble. He was very grounded. And his glance was generally down because of the power of his glance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His looking was not to maintain a stare. He would look and then he would move away. He didn't fix his focus on people because of the effect that it would have on people. You know how sometimes you'll see certain people that just stare at you, right? And it makes you feel really uncomfortable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aware of everything and he didn't want to put any sort of uncomfort to the people around him, right? And that shows you his balance even more, his understanding, his wisdom. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nose was not flat, nor was it too pointy. He had a finely sloped nose, and it was described as having a glimmer or a light to it. It shined when a person was far away from him, and they thought that it was bigger than it was really, than it really was. But when you came closer, you realized that it was just a shine. And the upper part of his nose was aquiline. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mouth was full. So when he spoke, his pronunciation was perfect, immaculate, right? His mouth was wide and he was described as having perfect articulation. His voice was melodious. In his voice, there was a natural echo. When he spoke, it was audible and clear and almost commanding and overtaking. And when he was silent, dignity, wisdom, awe-inspiring covered him. When he was commanding, because you have to understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, when he went to Medina, there were many types of people living there, right? There were the Jews, there were the pagans, there were the Christians, there were the Muslims that had migrated there. So there were all kinds of people, and they all wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be their leader. And so he was sometimes, when he was commanded, everyone used to compete to fulfill his command. When he spoke sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used just the right amount of words, not too much and not too little, but straight to the point. And that is kind of, I mean, for me, it's kind of difficult. I feel like when sometimes I speak, depending if I am really into a topic, I will just go over and over and over and just repeat certain things. And it shows my obsession about it. And when I'm not interested, I don't really explain it properly. So my words are never just enough, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used just the right amount of words. You never felt that it was overwhelming. You never felt like it was not enough and you don't understand. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His words were coherent and logical. It was smooth and easy to understand. His words were described like beads that were coming off of a necklace, polished one after another. It flowed magically, beautifully. Like when we count the dhikr beads, when we're sitting and making dhikr and we do it one at a time. And once we get used to that flow and that motion of counting the beads, it's just beautifully done, right? Not the first time you do it, but if you do it every single day. When he opened his mouth, you would notice his teeth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his teeth were beautifully white and radiant. And they were perfectly set. He used the miswak, the siwak, at least 5 times a day. You know, this tells us how important it is to take care of our teeth, right? Hygiene. And his teeth were described as white as hailstones. They were set in a way that was a fine line between them, right? They were not clustered all together. Now we see a lot of little kids needing braces, and I think it has a lot to do with what we eat, our diet. Maybe it's really mushy, maybe it's really processed, maybe it's really soft and they don't have to work hard and their teeth don't fall into place the way it should. So, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teeth were perfectly set. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's neck, his neck, it was like a gazelle's neck. It was high. It was a high neck. It was beautifully, it had a beautiful silver clarity to it. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His shoulders were broad. They were strong. He had a strong chest. Even on the day of his death, his stomach and his chest were like on the same line. His stomach never extended beyond his chest, which means that he didn't have a paunch. He didn't have a belly, right? Even if he was older. Like nowadays, subhanAllah, like there are so many of us, right? Even I'm working on it. There's so many of us that have to struggle with trying to lose weight, especially in that area, in the stomach area. And it's not just women, right? Sometimes I would say, oh, it's me because I carried X amount of kids, and so that area gets filled up really quickly when I'm not careful, when I'm not eating right, when I'm eating too much, when I'm not exercising and moving around as much. But I've noticed nowadays, men also have a paunch, a pouch, a stomach. And this is something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was alive, he wasn't okay with. He would tell his sahabas, you don't need this. This is extra that should be somewhere in someone else, right? You've eaten someone else's, not that he said this, but you've eaten more than your share. And that is why you have this, right? The stomach. We are told that there are three things that can destroy us, right? Our tongue, our stomach, and our, what was the third? Our tongue, our stomach, and our genitals. And the reason for these three things are that if we backbite, we use our tongue, and we will be punished for it. That is a very severe punishment. If we overconsume food and we become a slave to our appetite, that will always also destroy us, right? We are eating way more than what we need. We are consuming things that we shouldn't, right? It's not out of hunger. It's out of some other reason, right? And then the third is our genitals, of course, if we don't protect ourselves, if we don't stay away from promiscuity, if we don't get married, if we don't have relations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with. So one of them is to focus on what we consume, what we put inside of our mouth, right? All right, so let's see. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expects us to also maintain a weight and stay fit, because at the age of 63, subhanAllah, like he was fit. He was strong. His upper body and his lower body. There's no excuse for us. We are young. We have the ability to learn about what is healthy and what is not. What type of exercise we need to do and how much of it and what's needed to have optimal health. There's no excuse for us. We cannot allow ourselves to be a slave of our appetite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not hairy when it came to his body. Yes, he had hair on his head, full head of hair. He had hair on his beard, manliness and masculine, right? But he was not hairy when it came to his body. He had hair, very little. He had a little bit of hair, light hair, on his chest, a line that naturally ran down to his navel. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a strong build, and it was perfectly formed. His limbs, his arms, his legs, he is described as having well-defined limbs. He has big bones, he has big hands, big feet. He had large calves. They were perfectly round. He had absolutely no weight on his heels. His lower body was so strong that he used to be able to jump on a horse or a camel and mount it without any saddle, because you need the strength of your lower body to be able to do that. You can't just jump on top of a horse if you are not strong. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no matter how strong he was described by Anas radiallahu anhu, one of the younger sahabas, as having hands and feet that were smoother than silk. And water, when he made wudu, would slither right off of his hands and feet. And this is very unique because he lives in the desert. I mean, I go outside and I wear flip-flops and I do gardening, and the bottom of my feet are like rough. So every night I have to make sure I do something to take care of that. But subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in the desert where it's dry, where there's sand and dirt, right? And yet his skin, subhanAllah, is smooth and water just comes off of it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's amazing. And I'm sure the people around him were not like this, but subhanAllah, these are like the miracles and the blessings. So I'm going to stop here. There's so much I can say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but inshallah next time I'll talk about his demeanor, how he walked, how he sat, the way he looked, turned when he wanted to listen to someone. But inshallah, you know, all of you guys have benefited a little bit. May Allah forgive me for any mistakes, anything that might have been wrong. It's all from me. And if you've gained anything, any benefit, please keep the whole entire ummah in your du'as. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and have mercy on us. Ameen. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.